Brian, thank you so much. Kurt Wagner is here, the owner, the host, the proprietor of TVShowPatrol.com. If you like your television, TVShowPatrol.com is the place for you. Kurt, I can't tell you the enthusiasm and excitement from our friend Anna Balavala. She found out not only would you be on the show with us today, but she'd get to meet you in person.
I know.
She was so excited.
I'm a faithful listener.
Thank you.
Dreams do come true.
And I don't watch any television that is not appropriate for under 10.
Is that true?
Unfortunately.
With two children, you're almost forced at times to play into whatever they want to watch. You can't watch adult shows.
Well, yeah, and we live in a condo, and there's only one TV, and so I turn it on, and the television babysits them, and I can have a glass of wine.
Oh.
So I don't care if I watch Dora 10 times.
Do you have a lot of DVDs? I've always noticed that my fake children that I have, they seem to repeat view. They get stuck on a thing, and they repeat view that like 50. Like, I've seen certain things probably 50 times.
Now I know what Netflix is.
Yeah.
So the 8-year-old is not as bad, but the 3-year-old watches the same show in a loop, so much so that Netflix says, you've watched about 7 of these. Do you want to stop?
Right.
Is there something wrong? Are you alive? You know, but yeah, that's all I watch. And then I was telling Bill that when I binge watch a show, it overwhelms me. Like, I binge watched Scandal, and my husband said, stop, you're talking to me like you're Olivia Pope. We're going to manage this right now.
And really fast.
Screaming. It was like Sorkin-esque, the way I was talking to him. And so there's something about binge watching that it's a little overwhelming for someone over 40.
It is.
Well, and it depends on the show, too. I mean, you can if you binge watch, you know, something that's like some kind of dark
Breaking
crime
Bad
drama or something.
Yeah, that was a mistake too.
You know, you can just be so
depressed. It puts you in a bad mood.
But I started binge watching the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
That's so funny.
Oh, that was so funny. Yeah. And then I'm sad when it's over.
Yeah. Sometimes 12 episodes a year isn't enough. You want more. Sometimes
in a row, you watch them in a row, Bill, not in a year.
Well, they make them, and it's up to you. You can watch them all in one sitting, or you can take them over a year.
I know. I want to be disciplined enough to say, you know, I'm only going to watch one a week.
Sure.
I think the most I've done is of hour long, because I pretty much watch hour long dramas. Mm-hmm. The most, I think, is maybe 4 episodes.
But even that's a lot.
Yeah,
that's 4 hours.
That's a bunch of
4 hours.
You need to get out. You need to eat.
When my daughters were little, I was kind of in the same situation as you. We'd watch what was appropriate for them to watch. And the week that Steve left Blue's Clues was one of the worst weeks of my life.
Awful.
I couldn't believe he was leaving Blue's Clues.
Came in for him.
Yeah,
his
it was
brother,
in the, his
Joe.
Brother.
Come on.
We could see through
Steve
that.
Steve was going to college. Steve became a punk rocker.
I know, he
That's
did.
And he has a really nice house in Brooklyn.
He really does.
Because this is what you do when your kids are binge-watching this stuff. You Google the characters.
Right.
Oh, that sounds like so-and-so. And then you look for the characters. Oh, Jessie's over. What happened to her? Oh, she was arrested for a DUI. And you.
I know.
And then you know that.
Do you study the shows before you let your kids watch them?
No.
Watch them to see if they if they're gonna be all right.
No.
Can I tell
now
you
now I do that for with the 8-year-old I do.
Well, you know, because it's funny, because some shows that I grew up on, kids shows, HR Puff and stuff, for example, like they say shut up all the time in that.
Sure.
And now, you know, parents are like, oh,
and
that's
Puff
bad
and stuff
word.
That
you can't
HR
say
Puff
that,
and so. Stuff is back.
Is it?
It's part of a dog show that Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, he's producing a show that with
new
real
episodes?
Life dogs, and they've included that HR Huff and what
Puff
is
and Stuff.
Puff and Stuff.
Yeah.
He's your friend when things get rough.
He is.
Can't do a little
bit. He was my
friend.
I love that show.
Yeah, that was a fun
time. He was your friend.
Yeah.
That was a fun time.
He's right here, see?
So my wife and I at one point had a discussion with neighbors of ours who were upset that when my daughters were little, they would watch The Simpsons with us. And I said, I'd much rather have them watch The Simpsons, which is well-written and really, really funny, than most kids' television shows. And they were just aghast by this.
Yeah.
You can't let 2 6-year-olds watch The Simpsons. That's the worst thing in the world. But I don't think it is. Like, there was stuff that went so far over their heads at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a time where they would start to ask questions. Why did he say that? What did that mean? But when they were 6, they just saw bright colors and a family usually getting along, sometimes strangling each other, but sometimes getting along.
Right. And somebody getting hit in the head or
there
whatever.
Was a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean,
but that happens at our house.
But the Roadrunner did that too.
Right. that's a tradition in kids' television shows.
Yeah, the Roadrunner was like the most violent cartoon ever.
They'd blow each other up on Roadrunner and fall off a cliff.
That's how I learned what an anvil was.
Right.
I don't have a use for an anvil on an expressway.
Is there anything worse than getting hit in the head with an anvil off a cliff?
Awful.
It's the worst.
You know, the grouchy old man in me says that's why kids aren't so tough these days. Because they didn't have
Is that why?
To watch, because they're policed so hard.
That could be why. Kurt, there's so much to talk to you about going on TV, right? I want to start with this story. Star Trek, the television show, the original Star Trek, is now 50 years old, and it has lived on in some way, shape, or form since Gene Roddenberry first brought it to NBC 50 years ago. Now, there's a new series of movies, of course, and it was announced just yesterday that one of the characters, Mr. Sulu, is gay. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody thought this is a great thing because George Takei is also gay, and this is a nice tribute to him. But he kind of went to social media and said, this is a terrible thing, and I can't understand why. Can you?
Well, I think he was just saying that. I think he was mad that it was upsetting sort of the tradition of the character and everything.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, it's great to be inclusive and to have a gay character, but why take a character who for 50 years has been straight and suddenly make him gay? You know, but the idea is that
new
movies are supposedly sort of an alternate universe Star Trek.
Right.
So anything can happen.
Right.
And Simon Pegg, who was one of the writers, he plays Scotty in the new movies, and he was also a writer on this show, you know, just said that he respectfully disagrees with Mr. Takei about the situation. You
but
know?
They expected him to embrace this and say, oh, that's so nice. It's a nice
mainstream.
And
he said, well, it's a nice sentiment, but...
But he's not buying it.
But it's wrong. Yeah, he's not buying it. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you can't ever please everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine that show is already 50 years old. I remember watching it as a kid and how groundbreaking it was. And it really was, in terms of things like race relations, it was one of the first shows to really integrate a cast of all different backgrounds. And, you know, I guess the stories are famous now about how the girl who played Uhura was told by Martin Luther King she was going to leave the show, and he said, no, please don't leave the show. It's so important for the black community to see somebody succeeding in the future. We need you to stay on that show, and that made her decide to stay.
Michelle Nichols, and, you know, she and Kirk, William Shatner, had the first interracial kiss on television.
And boy, did they get letters.
They
got
threats. Yeah.
The show did not do well in its initial run, but it kind of became an immediate cult classic in repeats and everything. And, you know, spawned all those movies. And
it's still one of the smartest things I've ever seen on TV, not just the original, but Next Generation and all the different incarnations. Yeah. They really...
Well, Smithsonian Channel just announced earlier this week that they're going to do a special this fall, and it's going to examine the influence the show has had. I mean, if you think about it, you know, Roddenberry came up with cell phones.
Yeah,
before,
he kind of did,
you know,
didn't
because,
he?
Because their communication device flipped open, like the flip phones, the old flip phones, and they, you know, they talked into them. There's all kinds of things you can trace, touch screens, you know, iPads and things like that. They had touch screen items there. And
I know in the world of medicine, there's several things that Dr. McCoy used that weren't even possible in the 60s that now
are
possible.
Around.
Yeah, so this special is going to delve into, like, new things that they're doing, like tractor beams and other things that I'm sure they didn't say, well, it was on Star Trek, so let's make it. But
Well, maybe there were Trekkies. You never know.
You never know. But a lot of those things, it's kind of fun to go back and say, wow, this is an everyday thing now.
Right.
Unimaginable at that time. It was future, you know, future tech at that time. So it's pretty cool. And I was always a Star Trek fan over Star Wars.
Were you? You liked that more?
I mean,
any special
I like
reason?
Star Wars, but I just really like Star Trek. I like the whole, you know, the ideas, you know, the inclusiveness, the ideas behind, you know, the whole, you know, there was a lot smarter, I think, than just... You know, Star Wars is a classic good versus evil tale, but Star Trek really gets into a lot of other social ideas.
But those were such morality plays. I mean, they really were taking cues from everything from civil rights to the war at the time, the Vietnam War. They were disguising it as science fiction, but if you look at what the plot lines were, they really were doing a whole lot more than that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So 50 years of Star Trek. How about that? We'll take a quick break, and then Kurt Wagner is here from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Luff. It's Anna Bolival. It's WGN. Kurt Wagner is here from TVShowPatrol.com. That's what he does. He patrols TV, and then he tells us what we should watch and what we shouldn't
do
watch.
Do you have an alarm and like a siren and
no,
a light?
I don't.
You should get one of those.
You should get one.
I should.
It's more official. What about this human Ken doll? Describe, tell everybody who this guy is, because he's a Chicagoan originally, right?
Well, he lived here for a
time. He lived here for a little bit, the human Ken doll.
His name is Justin Jedleka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He claims he has had 360 cosmetic surgeries in his life.
Wow. That's the whole cast of Knott's Landing put together.
Two more and he gets a free one, I hear.
I think he's probably had a lot of free ones. What is it like? The place I get pizzas at, it's 10 pizzas and
right.
they're free.
Little right. Caesars or something like that.
So anyway, he's been on, was it Botched or one of those plastic surgery shows? He's been on a couple of reality TV shows in the mm-hmm. past. And now he's on tonight's season or series premiere of the new Million Dollar Matchmaker.
She's
and
still around.
Yeah, the woman, Patty Stanger, yeah. who used to have a different show that was basically the same thing on another network, is now matching people. And she's going to try to match him up with
oh.
someone. He has since moved from Chicago to Los Angeles.
Right. I would think this would be a challenge unless you're somebody who really, really enjoys somebody who's had a lot of plastic surgery.
Well, maybe there's somebody who... Well, I guess, I don't know. Yeah.
Somebody who's had almost as much, were
yeah,
you going to say?
Yeah, I was going
to
say
that's
that.
Going to be tough to find.
But, you know, it's interesting because he looks like he's had a lot of surgery.
He wanted to look like a human version of a Ken doll, Barbie's boyfriend Ken.
Right.
But he doesn't.
Well, no. I mean, there's, you know, he's had like, what are the calf implants and bicep implants?
Oh.
And,
yeah.
I mean, I've seen this guy in person. And
how's it look in person?
It does not look natural.
No, not so good.
But
no.
neither does Ken.
No, not really.
I mean, and that's the deal with those dolls. They don't. But now he's just trying to find love.
I hope he finds love.
We all want love.
Now, like a Ken doll, Ken is missing some pieces. Is he also missing some pieces?
No, he is anatomically correct.
He is. All right. Well, that's I guess his chances are better now. Good. All right. That's good news.
I'm glad I didn't have to answer that.
I'm glad I didn't say that. Oh, wait a minute. I did say
you
that.
You did.
Game of Thrones. This is bad news for people who love Game of Thrones.
Right.
It's coming back, but
They're
it might
late.
Take a long time.
Yeah, they said yesterday that it might be a little late because they need to get the weather where they film to fit with the little teaser from the last episode of the last season, which was winter is here.
Yeah.
So it has to be winter. So I think they're waiting for bad weather.
Where do they shoot?
All over. They shoot in, well, I think those cold things mm-hmm. are in Iceland. No. Yeah. Maybe some in Iceland, some in Ireland.
Okay.
But they do shoot globally, don't they?
Yeah,
they go everywhere.
Oh, wow. They go everywhere.
I don't understand the budget for this show. I mean, I know it makes HBO a lot of money, but they really spend it.
It's a lot.
You can tell the production values
right.
are high.
And that's why I think they haven't had tons of huge battles like they did this season. They
right.
had a really big battle that was filmed just perfectly.
Yeah.
It was amazing, but it had to cost just so much money. Well,
yeah,
I guess we sort of talked about that one week on here. But, you know, this season, this coming season, you know, Daenerys and her dragons are going to where it's going to be winter, too. So everything, I think, might be in the sort of winter shoots.
Oh, excellent.
Those actors are going to be miserable.
Yeah, yep. I think so. But so they might have to wait. They'll probably have to wait a while. They don't have an air date yet, which they don't usually have an air date by this time anyway. But it might be later. Instead of spring next year, it might be summer.
Push back a few extra months. 224 Kurt was hearing our discussion about the human Ken doll and all his plastic surgery and the fact that he's going to be on Million Dollar Matchmaker, and they suggested possibly pairing him off with Cher. Do you think that's a possibility?
Well,
there is a human Barbie doll, though. I think
there is a human Barbie doll.
There's also a human Barbie doll. But he likes the guys.
Yeah.
So he needs another
likes,
Ken.
Yeah, he
needs find somebody.
Ken.
I'm not worried about him. I'll have to go find somebody. Danny McBride is an actor who everybody has seen, and you don't know his name. Right? He's been in a bunch of movies over the years, a bunch of television shows over the years. Very, very funny guy. Now, he has a show coming out called Vice Principals. It hasn't started yet, right?
No, it starts the 17th. He and Walton Goggins, who I love.
Who's that? I know that
Walton
name.
Walton Goggins, what has he been in? Now I'm not going to think. Well, let's move on. I can't think of it.
You'll think of it later. Call the listeners. Braveheart. He's in Braveheart.
Maybe Ryan.
No.
Maybe Ryan.
I'm having
knows.
A brain fart.
Oh.
Anyway, he really, really great actor. And he and Danny McBride play competing vice principals
mm-hmm.
at the school. And I think they're competing to become principal. Mm-hmm. And it's a comedy. I think there's 9 episodes maybe that mm-hmm. start up. They're doing a total 18 episodes. But Danny McBride sort of laid down the gauntlet early, saying, we're only doing these 18 episodes. There's no more.
He doesn't want to go beyond two years no matter what. No.
And you were saying that like HBO was cool with that and also told them, do whatever you want. We don't want to see it until you're ready.
Right, right. So they haven't had to see it. They haven't, you know, according to him, they haven't looked at it. He said that they really, really trust us.
Is that becoming a new thing to when they pitch a series, they say, we know when it's going to end, so that'll be easier for us to craft a better show, a storyline that knows it's only going to last 2 years.
I think that makes sense. And basically what he says is the story is over one school year, so we're not going to stretch that,
right?
You know, past, you know, although they're, you know. Whatever.
Sometimes if a storyline takes place in a school, you'll notice, like on Welcome Back, Kotter, those guys were in their 30s when they were still seniors in high school. So it becomes a little unrealistic.
Right. Right.
Glee.
Glee is another example.
Yeah. Beverly Hills 90210.
Beverly Hills 90210. Yeah. Those kids were older than me when that show ended. So
one of those people, one of the women on that was, I think, 35 when that show started. And she was
Gabriella Cotteris was in her mid-30s when that show started.
The nerd, yeah.
But, you know, this, it makes sense because, you know, he's got the story, he's got everything, you know, he knows where everything goes. And for Danny McBride, I think, you know, he's a creative guy, and I bet he just doesn't want to be stuck in something that, you know, takes all kinds of time.
His last show, he was a baseball player, and I'm blanking on the name of it.
So am I, because I'm...
But he really is. He's such a funny actor, but he is one of those guys, and there's so many people working, where every time you see him, you go, I know that guy, and I'm not sure of his name, but it's Danny McBride.
If he's not in Dora, I have no idea.
No, if he's not.
Eastbound and Down was the other show.
Yeah, that's it. Eastbound and Down. Rich wants to help you out with something, Kurt. Rich, we were trying to remember who Walter Goggins is. Where is he from?
You saw him in The Shield as Shane. You saw him on Sons of Anarchy as the transvestite that hit a hot thing for Teague.
That's him.
You saw him in G.I. Joe Retribution as the prison warden.
And Boyd Crowder in Justified.
And in Justified.
Yeah, Justified. That's where I...
Rich, you know you're Walter Goggins. There's no question about it. You're the best when it comes to that.
He has a poster in his house.
Everything. I think there's a law that he has to be in every other Hollywood thing now.
Well, everybody wants him. He's so good.
That's it. Rich, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Rich.
Appreciate it. Very, very nice. Always fun to see you, Kurt. We really appreciate you being here.
Too.
Did he live up to the billing for you on? I hope
he did. I'm ready. The fifth telenovela will have him.
They want you to guest star on the WGN
How's your
Morning
Spanish?
News.
My Spanish is not good.
We'll work with
it. No, I'll help you out. You'll be fine.
And I think I need to get rid of the gut.
No, you don't. You're a guy. You'll be fine.
The camera subtracts weight. It takes away 15 pounds. I don't know how it does it, but it does it. It does. Kurt's website, again, is tvshowpatrol.com. It's a good one. Thank you, Kurt. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Bye.
More after this. It's Bill and Anna on WGN.